Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Mesa police search for suspect in fatal shooting of 35-year-old man. Mesa police are seeking the person who fatally shot a man at a Mesa apartment complex. Mesa police said officers responded to a shooting at 7:06 p.m. on April 9 at an apartment complex near Power Road and Main Street. The victim, identified as 35-year-old Tyler Davis, was transported to the hospital where he was later pronounced dead. As of April 11, police had not reported taking any suspects into custody. A police spokesperson said detectives were working the case and that the investigation remained ongoing, and anyone with information should call the department at 480-644-2411. That story was Mesa Police Search for Suspect in Fatal Shooting of 35-Year-Old Man. The next story, 336-unit rental community planned in Apache Junction. A 336-unit, three-story residential rental complex proposed for 18 acres west of the northwest corner of Idaho Road and Apache Trail in Apache Junction has drawn criticism from neighbors around the proposal and a rejection from the Planning Commission. The Apache Junction Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing April 8 and overwhelmingly voted to not approve a conditional use permit for the development requested by Wolf Enterprises III LLC, represented by Gilbert Bliley, PLLC. A motion to approve the permit made by Commissioner Jesse Gage, with 8 conditions of approval and seconded by Chair Dave Hanchey, failed 2-5. Dissenting were Vice Chair Robin Barker and Commissioners Sandra Mikeland, Ari Cowan, Roy Starr, and Cheryl Bigelow. "I am overwhelmed with the problem of traffic, so I need to vote no," Barker said in voting. With the failure of the motion, the case can be appealed to the City Council within 20 days, Development Services Director Rudy Esquivia said after the vote. "Otherwise, if nobody appeals in 20 days, your decision stands," he said. 11 local residents and Winter residents spoke during a public hearing about the development, with most saying they live at Lost Dutchman RV Resort, 400 North Plaza Drive, which is just west of the proposed development. Concerns included traffic, bottlenecks of vehicles at the two entrances, the fear of having several families living in one unit, the traffic coming from the nearby U.S. Post Office, the loss of views of the mountain dropping the value of homes at the RV resort, questioning where trucks will travel for construction of the development, where school bus stops will be located to transport children living there, and the need for bicycle safety. The property is zoned City Center, or B3, and the proposed multifamily use is consistent with the existing general plan land use designation. City staff support the proposed multifamily use at the site, Principal Planner Kelsey Shatnick told the commission. "A 60-foot-tall building is allowed in that zoning, and the project is at 37 feet 5 inches in height," she said. 14 three-story buildings are planned. Amenities include a clubhouse, pool, dog park, open space, grills, and covered parking. "All lighting is to be dark skies compliant," Shatnick said. The main access is off Apache Trail, and a secondary access, for residents only, is off of Plaza Drive. Units will consist of 1 and 2 bedrooms and range in size from 750 square feet to just over 1,000 square feet. As you can see, the applicant is providing 3 building types, each with their own unique architectural details, which include balconies on the upper floors and first floor screened patios, Shatnick said. The applicant is requesting a parking reduction. Per city code, 749 on-site spaces are required, with the applicant proposing a total of 684. The applicant is providing 45 off-site parking stalls within 100 feet of the property along Plaza Drive, she said. Primary concerns from Five individuals who called the city about the project include planned off-site parking along Plaza, blocked views of the Superstition Mountains because of the planned building heights, and increased traffic along Plaza, Shatnick said. Historical aerials show the property may have been used as a golf course in the 1970s and 1980s, but has not been used since that time, according to a written project narrative from Wolf Enterprises 3 LLC. It will be a market-rate, non-age-restricted product. The development is anticipated to generate 2,265 weekday daily trips entering and exiting, it states. The Wolf Company is under contract to purchase the property, attorney Paul Gilbert, representing Wolf Company, told the commission. We openly state we don't own the property. We have it in escrow subject to getting it entitled here at Apache Junction, he said. One-bedroom units are to cost $1,300 a month, and two-bedroom units are to cost $1,800 a month, he said. And we're very comfortable that that rental rate can be sustained here in Apache Junction, Gilbert said. Bigelow asked if a traffic light was to be constructed at the entrance along Apache Trail. When you come out of there to cross the trail to get to Idaho, that could be congested sometimes. Like, are you going to put a light or something over there? She asked. Gilbert said it would not need a traffic light. But we've traveled it several times and have watched the traffic. We did it again today, and we don't think that will be a significant factor, he said. I know I sat there long enough trying to cross the trail to get to Idaho, Bigelow said. The primary duties of the Planning and Zoning Commission include community contact regarding items, including a zoning change request to an application from a developer for a shopping center development or housing project. Also included are conditional use permits, with the final decision being handled at the Planning and Zoning Commission level, according to the city's website. And that story was 336-unit rental community planned in Apache Junction. The next story, Mesa Police Chief announces retirement. Here's what we know and who will replace him. Chief Ken Cost will step down as the Mesa Police Department's leader on June 30, the city announced April 10. Cost's retirement is the third major change in leadership for Mesa this year, following the swearing-in of Mayor Mark Freeman and the planned departure of City Manager Chris Brady on May 31st. Cost took the helm of Mesa Police in 2019 after Chief Ramon Batista abruptly resigned. Before Cost's appointment, the force was hit with federal investigations and lawsuits over officer use of force. The federal investigations were closed in 2021. Cost said in a statement that it was the greatest honor of his career to serve as Mesa's police chief. Together, we've built a department that prioritizes community engagement, officer wellness, and innovative approaches to public safety, he said. During his tenure, Cost hired over 300 new officers, reducing vacancy rates to historic lows, adding a fifth police station, and starting renovations to Mesa Police Headquarters, according to the city's news release. Cost had a 30-year career with Mesa Police. He served as assistant chief from 2018 to 2020, and before that, worked with the gang unit, the street crimes unit, and the community action team, among other assignments. He was a sworn investigator in East Los Angeles before moving to Arizona. The mayor expressed his gratitude to Cost. His dedication to building trust between our police department and the community has made Mesa a better place to live, work, and raise a family, Freeman said. A new police chief will be appointed in June after the new city manager takes over to ensure a smooth transition in the department's leadership, the city stated in its news release. The selection process will focus on finding a candidate to build upon Cost's accomplishments while bringing fresh perspectives to the department's continued evolution, the release said. And that story was Mesa Police Chief announces retirement. Here's what we know and who will replace him. The next story, fortune-telling regulations to be discussed by Apache Junction Council Monday. City of Apache Junction regulations concerning fortune-telling businesses and a required $1,200 a year fee are to be discussed at Monday's City Council work session. The work session begins at 7 p.m. April 14 in the Council Chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard. By city code definition, a fortune teller is a person who purports to have the ability to predict a person's future by palmistry using a crystal ball or cards or similar methods. The city's business code has a requirement that fortune tellers require an additional permit to operate involving an additional $1,200 fee to be annually renewed and requiring approval from public safety. The council may direct city staff regarding a text amendment of the relevant codes according to the agenda. Options, according to a city document, include no change to existing code, a proposed amendment to the city code to remove regulations pertaining to fortune-telling, a proposed amendment to the city code to lower the fortune-telling fee comparable to other cities, and any other direction the council would like to pursue. And that story was fortune-telling regulations to be discussed by Apache Junction Council Monday. The next story, support they deserve. Mesa is getting $24 million center for people experiencing homelessness. The East Valley in 2026 is expected to get a new $24 million inpatient medical center to serve the area's growing number of unsheltered adults. The nonprofit Circle the City said it will break ground on the 84-bed medical respite center in May in Mesa, nearly doubling the capacity of each of the group's two existing medical respite centers. Medical respite, Circle the City said, is a bridge between hospital discharge and stable health. It's a place where hospitals can discharge people experiencing homelessness so they can safely recover from medical treatment and access services to help them get well. The Mesa facility will be the organization's third medical respite center for adults experiencing homelessness. Circle the City's other two have 50 beds and are in Phoenix, one downtown on 12th Avenue, and one in central Phoenix on Indian School Road. The centers give adult residents 24/7 medical care, meals, behavioral health care, substance use intervention, physical therapy, and services to help patients recuperate and find housing after they leave. At Circle the City, we are committed to providing a place of healing and hope for those who need it most, said Kim Desprez, CEO of Circle the City. This new facility represents a significant expansion of our ability to serve individuals facing homelessness in the East Valley, ensuring they receive the care, dignity, and support they deserve. A $5.6 million grant from Maricopa County was the springboard for the project, which is still fundraising to meet its goal of $24 million, Circle the City spokesperson Hunter Scott told the Arizona Republic. Circle the City's existing medical respite centers are typically full, Scott said. The new East Valley Medical Respite Center will be the first of its kind in the Mesa area and a major step forward in providing compassionate health care to people who are unsheltered, Circle the City officials said in a news release. The location of the new center will be next to Velder Rose United Methodist Church near Main and Higley Streets, which will host the indoor portion of the scheduled May 6 groundbreaking ceremony. In addition to medical respite centers, other Circle the City services in the valley include two outpatient clinics, five mobile medical units, and three street medicine teams. The organization was started by Dr. Adele O'Sullivan, a Catholic nun and physician who had a mission to provide high-quality medical care to people experiencing homelessness and stop them from early, preventable deaths. Circle the City officials said growth in the East Valley, including its population of unsheltered individuals, led to plans for the Mesa Center. And that story was Support They Deserve, Mesa is Getting $24 Million Center for People Experiencing Homelessness. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we're covering news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, daytime restriction, closures on US 60 between Superior and Miami, April 14 to 17. The Arizona Department of Transportation advises drivers to plan for the restrictions for blasting operations as part of a bridge replacement project on US Highway 60 east of Superior. Between mileposts 227 to 229, the road will be reduced to one lane, with alternating east and westbound travel from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday, April 14. Flaggers and a pilot car will assist drivers through the work zone. US 60 between Superior and Miami will be closed from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday, April 15, Wednesday, April 16, and Thursday, April 17. Flagging operations will be in effect before and after the full closures. US 60 between Miami and Magma Mine Road, milepost 231 to 243, will remain open for local traffic only. Detour: eastbound US 60 drivers use southbound State Route 177 through Winkelman to northbound SR 77. Westbound US 60 drivers use southbound SR 77 through Winkelman to northbound SR 177. Due to the roughly 75-mile length of this detour, drivers may want to consider planning travel before 9 a.m. and after 2 p.m. The detour is estimated to add an additional hour for trips between Superior and Miami. Upcoming full closures and flagging operations. US 60 east of Superior will be reduced to one lane with alternating east and westbound travel from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday, April 21. Flaggers and a pilot car will assist drivers through the work zone. US 60 between Superior and Miami will be closed from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday, April 22, Wednesday, April 23, and Thursday, April 24. Flagging operations will be in effect before and after the full closures. For information and to sign up for email alerts, go to https://azdot.gov/projects/southeast-districts-projects/Queen Creek and Waterfall Canyon Bridge Projects. And that story was Daytime Restriction Closures on US 60 between Superior and Miami, April 14 to 17. The next story, Mesa revives halted downtown grid project after a year of nothing. What now? Along Main Street in downtown Mesa, a half-constructed multi-family project dubbed the Grid that has sat untouched for nearly a year. But that is all expected to change soon. The City Council approved a non-binding agreement on April 7 with Sol Trust Residential REIT to take over the projects from its previous developer, which filed for bankruptcy in the U.S. District Court of Arizona in 2024. The Grid was a $75 million six-story mixed-use development planned by Palladium Enterprises and 3W Management LLC on city-owned land along Main Street and Pomeroy. The city initially approved it in 2017. Governor hopeful Karen Taylor Robeson, along with partners Tony Wall and Trevor Barger, made up the team behind Palladium Enterprises. The Grid was one of the city's first large-scale residential projects at the start of its redevelopment efforts in downtown Mesa, following the opening of the light rail extension in 2015. The developer entered into a lease agreement with the city to develop the 3 acres of city-owned land, which originally called for 250 residential units, 14,000 square feet of office space, with the first floor reserved for retail and dining. The agreement between the city and developer laid out benchmarks for Palladium Enterprises to reach, such as deadlines to break ground and complete construction. The project broke ground in 2019. But after failing to meet deadlines, the city sent the developer a letter of default and termination in February 2024, said Jeff McKay, Mesa's downtown transformation manager. A month later, the developer, now renamed as The Grid at Mesa LLC, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Other contractors and subcontractors had additionally filed liens against the grid at Mesa LLC. The council's approval on Monday will allow the appointed U.S. trustee in the bankruptcy case to present the agreement to the judge for approval to settle liens and move forward with development on the site. The project has served as a learning lesson for future development on city-owned land. Outgoing city manager Chris Brady warned the city council of future pitches from developers that don't show the financial wherewithal to complete their projects. Palladium Enterprises entered into a development agreement and a ground and air lease in late 2017 with the city, with the project poised to ramp up redevelopment in downtown Mesa. The roughly 3 acres were previously the parking lot for Benedictine University, which the city owned. The project called for market rate and residential units, retail and office space, as well as requirements for street improvements on Pomeroy. Housing units were also planned to be built on top of the Pomeroy parking range. Even before 2019, the city amended its agreement with the developer to provide more time to get the financing in order, McVeigh said. McVeigh said after COVID-19 hit, the developer ran into difficulties with supply chain issues and cost overruns. Again, the city extended its compliance dates. In April 2021, McVeigh sent the developer, now renamed as The Grid at Mesa LLC, a non-compliance warning letter the Arizona Republic acquired through a public records request. In it, he wrote, "A construction progress on the grid has been limited." He wrote that several issues had been identified and the city needed the developer to provide details regarding project funding, city fees, and permits. He also wrote that despite the issues, the city remained committed to the developer's efforts and to the successful completion and opening of the grid. In total, the development agreement for the grid was amended 7 times. Phase 1 of the project was never completed and construction of Phase 2 of the project never began. McVeigh said the city held on to its agreement with the grid at Mesa LLC for so long because it was sympathetic to the hardships the company faced because of the pandemic. "We are not in the business of starting a partnership with somebody and at the first sign of adversity cutting ties," McVeigh said. He said that would be a sign of bad faith from the city and not look good to the development world. Instead, the city added more protections to its contract amendments, he said. In 2022, the city demanded that the developer set aside $1.7 million into an escrow account that Mesa could use to restore the site to its original condition in case the developer failed to complete the project. The city did tap into that account to reopen the sidewalks, restore landscaping, and resurface parts of Pomeroy in 2024. The city didn't consider demolishing the current site because construction was far enough along that another developer could step in and finish it, McVeigh said. That's been part of the discussion during the bankruptcy hearings. After months with no construction activity, on February 29, 2024, the city sent the letter of default and termination. It demanded that the default be resolved by the end of that March, and if not, the development agreement would be terminated. The grid at Mesa LLC filed for bankruptcy on March 30, 2024. Amid the city's termination letter, the company had several liens filed against it from contractors and subcontractors. Midland States Bank provided the $35 million loan to the grid developer in December 2021 for the construction of the project. The bank stated in court filings that the developer failed to make payments and had a balance of $28.4 million as of March 2024. At least 19 mechanic liens were recorded against the grid at Mesa LLC, totaling $8.5 million, according to court records. The majority was made up of the Grid Construction LLC, the project's general contractor, liens. Throughout the bankruptcy case, McVeigh said there was an effort to try and work through to see if the developer could bring in new money and a new developer to finish the project. "Unfortunately, there was not a point at which we felt comfortable with the plans they were moving forward with," McVeigh said. A U.S. bankruptcy trustee was appointed in July 2024 to stabilize the project and find a new developer to take over and resolve any outstanding debts, a decision the City and Midland States Bank supported. Over the past year, the trustee and the city have worked closely to find a new developer. McVeigh said this is because a court settlement deal would not succeed if the city doesn't enter into a new development and lease agreement with a new developer. After a lengthy bidding and vetting process, the trustee and the city decided to move forward with selecting Soul Trust Residential REIT. McVeigh said Soul Trust was able to show proper financial capacity and a willingness to develop the site and address the liens against the project. The City Council approved the MOU with Soul Trust Residential REIT on Monday. That sets the stage to move the project forward. During a presentation to the City Council on April 3, McVeigh shared potential changes to the project. The city and developer have scrapped plans to build housing on top of the Pomeroy Garage. McVeigh told the council the restaurant Crust Simply Italian was still interested in leasing parts of the first floor for a new location. He mentioned the second floor, which was built for office space, could take time to lease out because it was initially built out for a specific user. He said he was confident in the new proposed developer because its team had already begun to do design work for the additional phases. Soul Trust will have the option to purchase the land after it finishes construction on each phase of the project. That's estimated to sell for nearly $3 million. Soul Trust has also redeveloped a 13-story assisted living facility in downtown Mesa into an apartment building, along with several housing projects across the valley. Brady warned the council during its discussion on April 3 about doing deals with a single developer without an request for proposal process in the future. "I think we fell into a trap with a developer who came to us with an idea that we all fell in love with, but there was no evaluation against anybody else or any financing of a developer. And we came to find out pretty quickly that the developer was pretty shallow in their financial capacities," Brady told the council. Brady said the bankruptcy process has benefited the city in getting it to a solid ground. And that story was Mesa Revives Halted Downtown Grid Project After a Year of Nothing, What Now? This has been East Valley News covering the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.